The Tigers are premiers for the 12th time in their history. Rioli, this time, 4, 3, 2, 1, it's a goal! Right on the Tigers! Whoa, what about that? A 4-3-60 in slow motion, just down the marks!
Oh, gee whiz. He's had four shots on goal, and that was his worst.
Big arm takes the mark, and it's all too much for Leon.
Well, he's an accurate set shot, the big fella. 4 out of 5 so far this year.
Make it 5 out of 6. The skipper goes and goes, and then tries to lace it out, but no, he doesn't. He kicks a goal.
And welcome back to Richmond Tiger Talk. My name's Nick.
And I'm Andy.
Yes. 2020 hasn't been the year that we expected or hoped for, it's fair to say.
No, on a number of levels, I think it's... I don't want to come on too hot too early, but it's probably been suboptimal thus far, the outcomes we've achieved.
Yeah, so if you look at our senior men's and women's team, and, you know, you count the men's preseason competition. We've only won one game this year of the 13 that we've played so far. That's not much fun.
Oh, that's really depressing, but we'll research that. not the take that probably most people have taken, but yeah, and the thing is...
Just on that point, thinking, you know,
because it's a point that deserves reflecting on anyway. Go on.
Well, watching all the old football that I did in the break. And we've mentioned it before. 1989 at the MCG versus Brisbane in a rain cloud, and we kick 5 goals and win in front of less than 8,000 people at the MCG. It's by any measure an irredeemably bad game. And yet I watched some of it, again, because we won. Only because we won. Winning is fun. This season, not fun.
No. And it's obviously off... it's a very bad methadone hit when you've been taking the most pure stuff from the fields of
when your last in person experience of AFL was one of the greatest days of your life.
Yeah,
it's a long way down.
Exactly. I mean, almost literally the last football I saw live was Trent Cotchin running through the centre and kicking that long goal and then jumping with excitement in the centre square in sort of an incredibly un-Trent Cotchin-like display of emotion. Now, I must admit, Nick, I was before the game, and you're going to have to forgive this hyperbole. I texted to a few people, like, I really hope this isn't the start of watching the era end this game. And we'll get to all the takes about is Richmond in trouble. And yeah, it was not much. What I hope what we're not doing is watching the end of an era, because, you know, frankly, I'm not quite ready for it to be over. I would like some more competitive football. But you know, there is a very good point that and there's a million theories what's wrong with Richmond. I mean, I saw Footy Classified dedicated a whole segment to the fact that our pressure acts at Dale, the best evidence for that is Caddies was down 17% and Baker's was down 13%. They were the two worst. They had the highest percentage drop in pressure ratings. Now, we'll come back to the pressure ratings stat, but, you know, that's hardly convincing evidence that Caddy and Baker are right down in their pressure acts. So, well, sorry, and that's not even down that much, you know. They're down by less than a fifth, but it's not killer evidence. But, yeah, it is... there's lots of theories, and, you know, it's not only to paint, we have actually won a game. It's too hard to know whether, how good the teams we are playing. Maybe we've played all top eight teams, thus far. And, you know, maybe we'll get more of a sense of where we're at versus Melbourne, but, now, Melbourne, but, it's not fun to watch, and at least we scored about in the weekend, but most of the time we've been very low scoring. Yeah, it's pretty depressing overall.
There were signs of encouragement on the weekend. Last week, we had Shane Edwards as one of the players who's most down, and I thought he looked a lot more like himself. Dion Prestia's been well down again. I thought he was, if not fully back to 2019 form, he was better than he was. Yeah, and the you know, not playing one of the best defences in the team in the league was good for our attack. But yeah, it wasn't. And surely we can't go on giving up 4 to 5 goals a game to free kicks, which I'm pretty certain we are well off the charts compared to any other team in the league. So. Yeah, and other teams, we haven't kicked for goal very well. Other teams have kicked for goal better than you'd expect. So there's been, you know, it's in that unique manner that, you know, bad teams often have. You know, there's a mix of bad performance and bad luck. And, yeah, so, you know, you're hoping the luck can turn, you're hoping the form can turn. Yeah, they've got to get on with it.
Yeah, you've touched on a lot of things there. And, you know, no way is this forgiving the performance of the game. I am finding the game plan quite troubling because we dominate the game for such short periods. But, you know, we did win the inside 50s by 1, for instance. The disposals were even. You know, the stats were not a nightmare. I'm not saying that we deserve to win or anything like that, but the tackles were fairly even. Like there are a lot of ways you can look at the game where it wasn't a complete smacking. The expected expected score was about what it should be. The Saints kicked slightly better for goal. We kicked exactly right on. So you know it wasn't a flogging. It was depressing. But there's a couple of things I wanted to unpack there. I did want to start because you sort of started on a positive as well. I mean, you can't bury the lead as much as it hurts so much to have Soldo dropped. And what was worse about it is it was completely deserved. Is if rotating the rucks means that they come back really angry and desperate to
and fresh
and to prove a point. Like Nank was huge. He was the top rated player on the ground. He had 50 pressure points. He almost led the team. He kicked that beautiful goal. 5 clearances, 12 contested possessions. He drew even on the ruck.
He monstered dudes. It was fun.
Oh, he was an absolute killer. Like, I mean, some of those guys which you talk about in a sec should be ashamed to be wearing the same jumper as Nank. So, look, extremely triumphant return. Obviously, I was devastated about Soldo, but, you know, I must admit, you know, waking up on Saturday morning thinking I'm going to get to see Nank all day, you know, I really like Nank. And my God, like, I think that's his best. I think that's his best ever game. If you sort of look at overall his total contribution and just the hits he was putting on and the physical intimidation. So, you know, triumphant return for Nank. And look, Nick, I really want to start with this pretty early. The only player we've got in the list of players who are in career best form on the AFL rankings, I guess, that's, you know, basically they're playing the best football of their career. I think you're going to know who it is. Nick? You want to guess?
Jack Higgins?
Exactly. So, you know, he was the fourth rated player on Richmond according to the sort of the champion data points. So, he wasn't, you know, he's not all world, but he was bloody useful. He was making himself, making a nuisance of himself. He was constantly involved. 7 score involvements, 17 touches. You know, I'm not saying he's going to win a Brownlow, but like he's in legitimate very good form, the best form of his career. Yep. And you know, he's come from so far back. It's a great story.
Forgotten. I know. I'd almost forgotten how good he is at marking. Although I did have a moment when he went down. I think it was the second quarter. I was like, oh, I'm not ready for that yet. That's still pretty close to home.
Yeah, yeah, it is. But, like, you know, look, let's not take this for granted too early on about how special it is. Shedder was interesting because I must admit when I watched him live, the person we watched it with a mad Richmond supporter, and we sort of both agreed we didn't think Shedder was that good. But then when you watch the replay and you see he had 14 contested possessions, and, you know, he was one of the few that wasn't below his usual level of pressure. It was a very good game, and he was the second rated player according to, he was the best rated player according to one rating and second best according to another. Mm. So, you know, it's hard to make the case that, once you look at the game in a totality, that you're sort of more inclined to, what you said, which was, it was his best game of the season thus far. And certainly, the starting goal was very promising.
Yeah. I liked Jack Ross's game, even though, yeah, it certainly had its warts, but it's sort of more the vibe of it rather than possibly the actual statistical output at times. But I felt like he was cracking in.
So that's been a lot more controversial among some Richmond players, some Richmond fans at, I think I'm more comfortable with him in the centre than I am in some of the other roles. They put him on the wings or on the half-back flank. But, some players think, some people think he's been a little bit too much, sort of lairising and not enough hard work. Another player who was interesting was Bolton, who, had only 10 touches, like, was superb on the AFL ratings, but in 69% game time, had 2 goals and, 5 score involvements, like, in a very interesting play, but you know, one thing when, if people are looking at his low, possession numbers, remember he is playing almost the least of, the mid/forwards, so, I still think he's a wonderful impact player. By the way, the other player who was, The second lowest player was Ross as well, who was also on 69%. Mm. Another thing to remember when you're looking at the stats line.
Yeah, I mean, it was painful that Dan Butler had a near career best game against us. But, you know, when that commentator's made some offhand remark about, oh, they let the wrong one go. No. You know, Dan, we were extremely pro Dan Butler. We pre-season 2017, we did a show with the episode title "We're All in Dan Butler's Universe Now," like, and that was before he'd played a single senior game. We were on board. But if you look at, you know, his career, Dan Rioli's won finals and is a proven finals performer. Bolton's fantastic. Jason Castagna performs in a unique role. Higgins is really coming on. He was our fourth or fifth best small forward, so look good. It's great that he's doing well, but
well, these things happen. And small forwards, as discussed before, are high variance players. Let's see how, you know, let's look at again at the end of the year. If he makes it all Australian, it was definitely a mistake. Because none of those small forwards we just listed have ever been all Australian, but there's a long way to go yet. And, you know, he's had absolutely, definitively a great game. I thought he really hurt us. I think we still lose if he swaps teams. The thing that was almost most disappointing for me, we'll talk about Dusty in a sec, was the dumb freeze and 50s that Vossie and Grimes both gave away in crucial moments. Like, one or two of those was when the game was really close and in the balance, and they gave away these most sort of, petulant, unnecessary, acts. Like, what was going on with that?
I know. The defense was disjointed in a way that we're not used to, because they've been holding up the team. Some of the games, they really, rest of the team needed to be buying the defenders dinner, because you know they were the ones doing their job more than anybody else. But it was very, very un-Richmond-like in the defence, and that cohesion is going to be a challenge now with Asprey out for a month as well. But you're just not used to that sort of dumb stuff.
No, like just them being the weak link in the team is so weird. And it's not like, like I appreciate Asprey was injured, but it wasn't his fault. It was Grimes and Flossie who have, you know, have looked in good nick. And yeah, it was, it was odd. So I've been sort of I suspect we're going to find Ryan Garthwaite uses the ball very similar to Dave Asprey in the way he plays. Like he'll look in board once and then he'll go down the line. So I was trying to look for the
I'm wondering if we get Noah Bolter in.
I reckon we might get both actually. Just humour me for a second, Nick. I've been trying to sort of think of the equivalent to down the line Dave for Ryan Garthwaite. I was thinking about right up the boundary, Ryan, or I haven't quite nailed it yet.
That's not bad.
Anyway, so you can see where my mind's been going the last few days. We'll talk about better selection a bit more in a second.
I was going to say, playing Bolter as a backup ruck. Look, when St Kilda had their backup ruck up on, like, the Nathan Broad / Camden McIntosh, discount to Isle Ruckman thing was okay because, sort of cancelled each other out. But, when they were against Rowan Marshall, that was not much fun. I don't enjoy it very much.
No, I already had I got this off my chest on Twitter and got a hell of a lot of... When you normally tweet something negative on Twitter about Richmond, and, normally doesn't get that much engagement, I think it was our most popular ever negative tweet where it just made the point. Look, I'll just repeat it now for people who aren't on Twitter. Sean Grigg in the ruck worked because, he was surprisingly competitive, but he always lost. But once the ball was on the ground, you have another mid, so you've outnumbered them at the drop.
And he was really smart about it.
Yeah.
Really smart.
Yeah, and not to be forgotten. Thank you. Good point. Broad, we gave up a gap because he is not good in the midfield. He's probably worse than Nank is as a midfielder. Probably as a ruckman, he's no good, and as a midfielder, he's no good. So you're not winning either thing just because you're not winning either contest, and you put him in there because he's moderately tall. But like, what's the point if you lose a ruck by 10 centimetres or 13 centimetres? Like, what difference does it make? Now, it should be, the Broad's about the same height as Grigg was, but it's just like
he's fine. He's surprisingly tall. He's 5 centimetres.
Okay, either way, look, when I thought it through in the preseason, I thought, Broad doesn't work as a ruck because you're just losing both things. Or at least
a bit in between.
And, he was terrible in the ruck, and then, he dropped a tackle that any midfielder would have stuck, which gave up a goal in a crucial moment of the game. It was frustrating, and they ditched it, but anytime I think Broad gets sucked up the ground. Any time that Dimmer puts him in a role where he gets sucked too far up the ground, I don't think it's good coaching. Like, just because he follows game plan and he gives whatever cover to whatever code word that they're using, you can only cover the fat side so well. That's what he's really good at in the open field, but you can't use him as a mid, no matter how well he knows the game plan, because he just doesn't have tricks. Rant over.
No. Well, the Nathan Broad role is playing against Adelaide, Tom Lynch, like the endurance beast half forward. Like, Nathan Broad is a really good runner, and he can run with those, third tall types who work up and down the ground. Like, I still don't. Adelaide Tom Lynch is a pretty good player who I don't respect very much because Nathan Broad did such a good job against him in the grand final. That's his role. As you say, anything creative is a bit too much. Jack, mm-hmm. is leading the AFL in marks inside 50.
Great stat.
Yeah. His kicking is a bit off. And I actually think...
Except for one example. Ever,
yes, except for one very, very nice example. I went and with thanks to AFL Tables, I went and checked what happens to key forwards like Jack as they get old. And actually it turns out goal kicking as a skill doesn't seem to age. It's just they get injured and they stop getting the ball. But if you're, you know, normally if you're accurate kick when you're young, you're accurate kick with a goal. It's like a, you know, like a golf swing. But yeah, I think Jax is, we've talked before, Jax is just a bit off at the moment. So I'm hoping, you know, it's, you know, the cycle comes around and we know he works hard. So yeah, I think there's a little bit too much hand wringing there.
Yeah, I mean, not, you're probably right, but I mean, you know, perhaps one explanatory variable is that he's going further and further in the pockets to get his touches. That maybe he's been pushed out a bit. You know.
Yeah, then there's a little bit of a Tom Lynch story there as well, because all the
position A ball is going to Tom Lynch. Look,
fair enough as well, because Tom Lynch is great.
Yeah, and look, judging a key forward when you're, like, we've just had three games where we've either lost or, you know, been fairly uncompetitive. Not completely uncompetitive, as pointed out. But, yeah, it's too early. Look, key forward is too high variance, I think, to... I'm not calling the end of Jack yet, and I don't buy the... As discussed last week, I don't... you know, your point, he was quite good at the end of last year, and I don't buy that he's going to have such a precipitous drop-off. You know who has I'm not saying it's permanent, because obviously he's not in that age bracket, but you know who has... we've talked all this time, and we're sort of perhaps missing what is the most obvious explanatory variable of what's gone wrong.
Kane Lambert.
Oh, that's fair. Pressure's 10% down, by the way. Obviously, possessions are a long way down, but
he's now top of the naughty list of players whose ball winning has dropped off.
Is he?
Yeah.
What about Dusty?
Last week it was Sheds and he was second. Oh no, look, Dusty's down 20% with 20% less game time. Like last week, Kane Lambert was down about 40%.
Yeah. So, okay. Yeah. So I mean, just on the you know, if you wanted to go over simplistic, simple one person variable, is perhaps this what Richmond looks like at the moment is what happens when Dusty's a bit more human. So he's currently since 2017, he's averaged 9 score involvements, 9 again roughly, 8.6, 7.3, and he's currently on 5 flat. So bigger than 20% decline. He's only kicked 1 goal all year. Where obviously he averages basically a goal and a half a game in our premiership run, and 20. Well, you pointed out it's 20.7 disposals versus 26, but contested possessions aren't down, Nick, which you'll be happy. So you know he's turned into the bull that Dermot Merton said he'd be all those years ago. He's just basically not cutting through like he was. He's not kicking the big goals, and he's not setting up the big goals. And he was like the 6th or 7th best rated player only in Richmond according to Champion Data, and he was somewhere like that on the AFL ratings as well. Like that, you know, we spent a time where an awful lot of games Dusty is in the top two of all players on the ground for a 3-year run, and now he's not that. And, you know, it's a huge loss.
Yeah. The part of it, I just felt like we never got to see the Dusty one out getting the ball long.
Well, it happened once. He lost the contest, which is a bit off.
Was a bit off as well. Yeah, I thought he was moving fine. It's just form.
It's hard to know. It's an absence.
It's an absence. Yeah. That look. There is a. When you look at the AFL app, the tracker, the player tracker data, I actually thought the most damning part of it was that Richmond had almost all the top players in the average sprint speed in a attack. So guys working really hard in attack, but St Kilda had all the players. In defence,
interesting.
As a team, we're not working as hard back. Sydney, the repeat sprint data really likes Sydney Stack. Both for he was top five in highest speed, but also total amount of ground covered at high speed. So. Yeah, I thought that was interesting. He's not in particularly good form, but he does flash on the data as he's a pretty good explosive runner.
So I know you made the point, and you're not the only person I've heard say it, that you could see why they kept him in the team. I would have dropped him after last week because he was sort of bad defensively. And you and a few other people made the point that, at least he was taking the game on late on. And there's really something to that. So I think the coaching staff showed a lot of faith in him. And again, he kicked a really nice goal. You might recall, run on to a bouncing ball. It was really important in the game, but he was a turnstile defensively again. When he get the sort of, we've got to stop playing him in the back half. Like, if you want to see, just rewatch the highlights. I counted just the highlights alone. I mean, it wasn't great. There was one-arm tackles if you actually watch the game, but watch the highlight. I counted three goals he was personally responsible for, or, played a significant, it's a team game, but played a significant role in. And so that's stuff that doesn't even appear on the stat sheet, and even the stuff that does appear on the stat sheet, he was our bottom ranked player according to Champion Data. He is not, something's not, either don't let him go back further, don't let him play in the back line, or stop playing him and put him in the reserves, I think is the only thing we can do at this stage. Like, it's not all bad, but there's a lot going wrong.
Well, so speaking of selection, I think we'll see a couple of changes. It's hard to know exactly.
You think?
Yeah, well, we had four the week before.
Yeah, no, I think there's going to be choppity chop chop.
Yeah, but, bought a guy like, Ross or K-Mac come in and go okay, so. Yeah, I think there'll be some guys under pressure. I do like what you said about bringing Bolter in. Having him as backup rock solves a few problems. But should we talk? Speaking of players coming in, should we talk about the? Oh, I'm still getting the hang of it. The scratch match.
Yeah, it's awful, isn't it? I had spies at the game to track Solo's progress, and as one does, and he was all right. apparently got decent write up, but it's so hard to know, isn't it? When if you're not there and you don't have the stat, don't have the stats, you know. Credit to anyone who's watching. It's sort of, you know, it's hard to track 16 different guys' performance at once. But you know, some good observers thought that Marlon was arguably best on ground. Frankly, I'd give him more than 1 week in the twos if that was up to me, but. You know, you can't really, like, Lambert is the one, you know, Lambert, to your earlier point, he had 11 possessions on the weekend. He's getting close to dropping, but, like, is Marlon and Lambert a like-for-like replacement? It's pretty hard.
Yeah. They both cover a lot of ground, but, yeah, I don't know, Lambert, really feels like part of the furniture to drop, even though he isn't playing well. Patrick Nash is an interesting one. I think, you know, there's almost nobody better suited to play this, you know, 16-a-side circle work. Like his, you know, his speed and skill really shows up. So yeah, I wonder if he's in the mix, something different. Nabi Achol's kicked 5 goals. Again, not clear what to make of it, but it does feel like there's a bit of depth there if needed. Yeah, it is weird. Garthwaite's been in good form.
Yeah, and again, like, it's so hard, you know, key position in the VFL, like, it's so opponent-dependent. So, you know, bottom line is it was, you know, let's do a bit of selection, make ourselves a bit of mock selection. It's a hard one, because your point, because I'd be uninclined to drop Ross and McIntosh, partly because they're my favourites, but, you know, and, you know, give them more than 1 week, I think is fair, when they're playing difficult roles. But I'm sort of in the church now. I didn't mind the one ruck experiment, but it's not working, and, you know, we're playing our mid such short numbers. We played them much more last year. You know, like, I would be inclined to bring in Bolter and Bolterers to give us more. Because, I mean, one thing we have not mentioned is that we gave up an awful lot of marks in position A right in front of goals on the weekend.
Which was so un-Richmond-like.
Yeah, now I know Melbourne have their key forwards aren't exactly you know, it's not 80s Hawthorn or
to say the very least.
But, you know, does Bolter give it? We bring in Bolter and Garthwaite, which gives us a lot more flexibility, you know, a lot more size around the contest in the back line. I don't know. Perhaps that's overreaction, but it, as you sort of said, to bring in Bolter, could be our second ruck, play a bit in the back line, give us a shock weapon around the ground. It's sort of, I like it as to shake things up a bit and give us a coaching staff more flexibility.
The argument against playing Garthwaite and Bolter is that while teams and Securita did it again on the weekend, bringing in Battle, they've been going big against us all over the ground. But Melbourne are pretty small. They're quite tall in defence. But on the weekend, they really only had one proper key forward and a couple of in Tom McDonald and a couple of medium forwards like Fritsch, Hannon, you know, Melksham, all those guys. Like, they're all sort of mid-sized utilities. So, I don't know. And the one I worry about slightly, Kasaya Pickett, who's pretty exciting as a forward pocket. But I think Petrarca's the one who really genuinely worries me. So I think, yeah, it's a question of who can play on those more mid-size forwards. So, look, if we think Garthwaite's got the mobility for that, great. But, yeah, and it'll be interesting to see how they try and match up. Have you seen Melbourne play this season much?
I do. I've actually watched multiple of their games, and every time I turn off because it's so depressing and terrible to watch.
Yeah, they are good defensively. you know, they've spent multiple first-round draft picks getting in Stephen May and Jake Lebo, and, you know, you can see why to some extent. This year, we've talked about Max Gawn before. We're extremely pro Max Gawn. The midfield's got Grunt, with Clayton Oliver, Viney, Petrarca. Harms isn't bad. So they can win the ball. Like that's one thing Melbourne's been consistently good at. What they're not very good at is, once other teams get the ball, they're pretty bad at stopping them moving the ball cleanly. That was certainly the case last year. Again, a bit the case this year, but they've got better key defenders, so sort of they play some pretty dour games. So no, this may not be pretty.
No, and look, their form's probably hasn't been quite as bad this year as made out. I mean,
no, they're more competitive than they were.
They're one of multiple teams this year. It seems very common. It's like every coach's dream. But underneath every AFL coach, they want to be the worst kind of NFL coach, which is the one that gets up to a narrow lead and then tries to hang on to it desperately and think that's brilliant coaching. I suspect we don't have many AFL coach listeners, but if you've got a friend of a friend, let them know that the advanced metrics shows overwhelmingly the best way to win NFL games if you've got a lead is to keep scoring. It's not to try and protect the lead. But that seems to be the in vogue thing in the AFL right now, is desperately cling on to leads and pretend that's not what you're doing in the press conference. But they had one of those games versus the Blues, and then they sort of had a reverse game against the Cats. So it's... look... they've been okay, it's somehow we all look back to 2 years ago, and still see them as a pretty good team. They're an older team, so look, I expect them to be highly competitive. We beat them when we've got our game on, but it's just so hard to know, isn't it? Because I don't know where we're at. The season's too young. I don't have a feeling of, you know, we've yet to play a good game of football since we came back from the break. So, do we have still in it? I was just going to say very briefly on selection is, like, I do like, someone had a great rant on one of the websites about, look, we're a small team, the growing game's not working, and a lot of teams are going old fashioned crash and bash, big bodies in the midfield. Okay, and that there might be some truth to that, but, you know, the biggest body, the only big body we've got in the midfield that we're not playing is Pickett. And we can bring him back, but he was hardly part of the solution 2 weeks ago. So, you know, there's not, if that is what's winning footy games, we might struggle a bit going forward. But we did draw with Collingwood. We didn't get flogged, and we're back at the MCG. So yeah. That gives me some hope that we're back where things are good.
I just think we need to be more Richmond-like. Like the way that we've played the last couple of years, you know, a better organised defence, a team that's running hard both ways. I think, you know, that structure and effort, I do feel like, you know, even if guys aren't quite in mid-season form, that would cover up for a lot of sins.
Yeah, I do like the theory. It's like it's vaguely appealing to our prejudices. Oh, actually, very much that. Actually, it turns out Richmond doesn't play as well without their fans. So, turns out we are important. You know, sometimes you sort of think it's overrated, but maybe that's it's all part of the magic mix. Is the baying mobs after blood. And, you know, I think back to the 2017. I was told by someone who's not even a Richmond fan that the GWS final was the best game of football they've ever been to because of the crowd atmosphere.
Yeah. I know. It was the most Romans in the Coliseum experience, I think.
Yeah. All right, well, look, we just got to get back on track. Good to be back at the G.
Yeah, and it's going to be a really weird season, but yeah, a win this week. I'm Nick.
I'm Andy.
We're Richmond Tigers.
The Tigers are premiers for the 12th time in their history. Rioli, this time, 4, 3, 2, 1, it's a goal, one of the Tigers. Oh, what a pick it. Whoa, what about that? A 4-3-60 in slow motion, just down your pass.
Oh, she is. He's had four shots on goal, and that was his worst.
Big man takes the mark, and it's all too much for Leon.
Well, he's an accurate set shot, the big fella. 4 out of 5 so far this year.
Make it 5 out of 6. The skipper goes and goes, and then tries to lace it out, but no, he doesn't. He kicks a goal. How sweet it is, eh? Pickett lines up.
Going off everywhere at the moment. Pickett's having an influence in his first game of footy.
Started with him.
Yeah. Dusty's dangerous. The swarming pressure is overwhelming.
Didn't want the body contact. He kept the body free. The pickup's unbelievable. That's a play of the game. That is the play of the game.
We underestimate the footy brain in Dustin Martin. You look at his physical ability. At champion data would tell us 7 out of the last 9 finals you can make the case for being best on ground.
We're from Tigerland. We never weaken till the pile of sirens gone. Like the tiger of old, we're strong and we're bold, for we're from Tigerland. Yellow and black, we're from Tigerland.
And I think they were a better team last year than they are now.